2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code podcast to get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. With that subscription, you get access to the Domination Station, which creates up to 150 lineups with one click of a button. You get access to our 24/7 hour open Slack chat channel where you can chat with me, Keith, and the rest of the gang in here. And of course, VIP articles and tools that are only available exclusively at DFSArmy.com. Don't forget to use the promo code podcast. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find Keith Hall at Boomers DFS Daddy. So it's a Friday, and this is actually our first podcast together of the week.
Yeah, it's been kind of a crazy and weird week.
It has.
So, you know, it's kind of one of those things that happens from time to time. It's should we go ahead and break the news for everybody for next week?
I didn't know what that was.
There will be three podcasts only.
Three podcasts only. All right. So Thanksgiving,
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
All right. So the reason is one.
Well, the reason is because on Tuesday there's only one game, and on Thursday there are no games.
Well, that'll do it. That'll do it. All
so
right.
So it's enough. Not like we're taking time off. I'm just, you know, I thought I would give everybody like a little bit of a heart attack to start out the day.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I think Saturday there's like a full slate of games. Okay. So yeah, so I'll be writing for that one, and then Sunday obviously the Lord's Day, aka football. But yeah, that's fine. You know, it's weird because we've had a lot of these midday weeks where we've only had like 2-3 games or something like that. Like I don't even bother writing for those. It's just I save all the research for these mega ones.
Yeah, it stops after Thanksgiving, by the way.
All right, fair enough.
We start getting into how the NBA really, really, really wanted it, which was the consistency of, you know, having pretty decent slates. The week after Thanksgiving, we go 8-5-10-5-8-8.
Sure, sure. Okay.
So we don't have another three-game slate until December 5th, and then we have a 3- and a 4-game slate that week, and then like the next week after that is 6-6-7-9-5-11-8.
Oh my.
So it starts to get pretty nice. Inconsistent. So
I could see we're basically like squirrels harvesting our chestnuts and whatnot for the winter time. So basically we're hoarding all of our mental capacity and then to unleash for the people during winter time. I see. Oh, always nice when you can parallel NBA DFS with nature. Always a good time.
Oh yeah.
Anywho, we got plenty of games tonight to get into. Let's rock right into it. We got the Detroit Pistons at the Indiana Pacers, where the Pacers opened up as 1.5-point favorites. Over under here at 212.5. Pacers actually 7-2 straight up and against the spread versus the Pistons in their last 9 meetings. Only injury news for this one, we've got John Lewis questionable with the ankle injury for the Pistons. And then for the Pacers, same guys, Glenn Robinson III, Edmund Sumner, both have been out for a while. No impact whatsoever to tonight's game. All right, let's look first here at the Pistons, where they've got a juicy matchup here against the Pacers here. Indiana allowing the 6th most fantasy points overall, but again, as I said, a lot of that coming from the interior, 2nd most to opposing centers, 3rd most to opposing power forwards. And then one thing you want to mention here, too, Tobias Harris, at least 22 real points in 3 of his last 4 games against the Pacers. So with all that information, got to have some interest in the Pistons, right?
I have the interest in the Pistons. About as much interest as I have in the Cleveland Browns offense versus the Jacksonville Jaguars this weekend.
So 50%. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
I mean, it's Andre Drummond. It really, really is. I mean, Tobias Harris is, I guess, okay. He's, you know, decently consistent, not great. You know, if you take a look at his price now, he's 6,700. He doesn't go too much below that. He doesn't go too much above that. He's got a cap of about 35. You know, if he gets extremely hot, you know, he can get you 40, but he's just Tobias Harris is a great cash game floor play, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I know what your voice is saying right now is that you don't prefer your Tobias Harris on a Friday, and by a Friday I mean a full slate like this.
No, absolutely not.
Gotcha.
I prefer my Tobias Harris on like a Thursday.
Okay.
A three game Thursday. Maybe a five gamer.
So you're going to play Tobias Harris on that one game Tuesday that's coming up next week.
Yep, and I'm going to be the only one. He's going to have 100% ownership with Boomer's Daddy's lineups, and he's going to be 100% owned because I'm going to be the only guy that's dumb enough to try to play DFS on a freaking one-game slate.
I'm sure they got something going on for the people. Like, nope. Does Tobias Harris have more points than Zdeno Chara block shots tonight or something like that, you know? Sure, we can get that. Boom Fantasy, what's up, fellas? But look,
I don't play Boom.
Well, because they don't allow me to have. Not only you, we're talking about everybody here.
No, because
right?
They don't allow me to have my name, so I boycott them.
I know that is a touchy subject. But all right, look, I like Drummond here in this matchup. I know you know, you're not too big on the Pistons tonight, but that's fine. I gotta mention it as my obligatory duty as the host here to say that Avery Bradley. He's posted at least 34 DraftKings points, at least 30 FanDuel points in four of his last six games. Nice matchup here tonight against the Pacers as well. On the opposite end of the spectrum with the Pacers here, not the greatest matchup going against the Pistons, but you do have some interesting numbers here. Bojan Bogdanovic, all right? Here for the Pistons. They're surprisingly allowing the sixth most fantasy points per game to opposing small forwards. That's great and dandy. And then Victor Oladipo has been having some pretty good games here over the last three, averaging just under 41 DraftKings points and 38 FanDuel points. Any interest from our Indiana boys here?
You know... Here's the problem is I really like the way the steps that Victor Oladipo has done, has made this season, but we just saw this matchup a week and a half ago.
Okay.
And it was in Detroit, mind you, but it's still, you know, same players. So maybe a home, you could give a 5% bump. Victor Oladipo at 7,700 is way too expensive for me going up against Avery Bradley. You know, you could go to Darren Collison. I don't play Darren Collison. If you got burned by Darren Collison and his 43.4 FanDuel points on Wednesday, good for you. You made the right decision. Don't ever, ever, ever. I saw somebody say, I should have dropped, I forgot who it was, for Darren Collison. And I'm like, please don't ever say those words again. Just don't say them. You know, Corey Joseph is somebody I would play more than Darren Collison. Wow. You know, but Domantas Sabonis he's a game time decision. Thaddeus Young, that whole dynamic. I guess if Sabonis is out, you can go to, you can go to Thaddeus. Miles Turner, or Sabonis missed this last game. Miles Turner, we thought, was in a great matchup. He only played 25 minutes. I believe it was foul trouble. I'll have to go back and look, but, you know, he didn't do well. It's really, really, really difficult to pay up for, you know, some of these, Indiana Pacers players, just because of the fact that, like, they're not cheap anymore because they've had some success. And if we go to the Detroit defense, I mean, really the only quote-unquote positive matchups, like extremely positive matchups, would be the small forward. Like, Andre Drummond is actually kind of shut down the defenders on the inside a little bit. He's gotten better. His all-around game has gotten better. I mean, this is just – we're spending a lot of time on a Detroit-Indiana game on an 11-game slate.
I didn't. I said my piece what I needed to, you know. Don't be lumping me in with your longevity of Indiana-Detroit. Shit. Let's move it along here. It's not even a much more glamorous game, but we'll talk about it. We got the Miami Heat at the Washington Wizards. Wizards 5-point favorites here, over under at 210.5. If you're wondering, oh man, it seems like this matchup just happened recently. Well, it did. This is actually the first of two home and home series that we'll talk about on today's slate. But the Heat are 6-3 straight up versus the Wizards in their last 9 meetings, covering 5 of those times. 5 of the last 8 Wizards Heat games have gone over the total here. Wizards did win the front end of that back-to-back, or that the front end of that home-and-home matchup that will come back to Washington tonight, interestingly enough. But let's start out with Hassan Whiteside here. And by the way, no injury news for either team. Forgot to mention that. But Hassan Whiteside was interesting. He was a guy that I liked going into the front end of this home-and-home. Wizards were doing pretty good against centers, you know, throughout the season in terms of allowing fantasy points. But, you know, it's been a while since the Wizards have been able to stop Whiteside. You like him here in this matchup?
No.
Why?
And it has nothing to do with the fact that I don't think he's in a good spot, because I do.
Right.
I just kind of feel like, you know.
Why don't you like Whiteside?
One, because it's one of the worst matchups on the board.
It's not one of the worst.
According to the adjusted DVP numbers, it is one of the worst matchups on the board for the center.
You're trying to tell me Hassan Whiteside against Marcin Gortat is a bad matchup? I don't care what computer says what. That's not a bad matchup. And again, this is a matchup that Whiteside's done well in.
But Marcin Gortat's not going to play more than like 23 minutes.
Okay. So who's gonna be the one to deny Whiteside?
I'm not saying he's going to get denied. I'm just saying that, you know, the center position today is a little stacked again. And, I mean, as a tournament pivot, maybe. But, I mean, come on, you're telling me that I can't go to Andre Drummond, I can't go to DeMarcus Cousins, Karl Anthony Towns.
Hey, this is America, brother. You can do whatever you want.
You know, I mean, DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Howard. There's so many good spots at the center position. Like, I just don't know how much Whiteside I'm really, really, really going to have.
Okay. I can tell you're just not feeling the side of White. Now, any other pieces of Miami that you could get interested in?
I still like the Josh Richardson matchup. I know he kind of, and this is a tournament play, 4,600. Still played 33 minutes. I'll say it again. I said it before. I'll say it again. If I can get 30 minutes under 5,000 on FanDuel, I'm going to try to attack it as much as possible. It's not a great matchup, but, you know, it's not a bad one. This is where you can attack this Washington team as far as adjusted DVP numbers. It's the best matchup on the board for them in this game. It's – well, ain't that some bony? All right. Anyways – sorry, news just came out. You know, this is where I can attack it. So this is where I'm going to attack it. And I think in tournaments he's going to be relatively unowned, because he, in the same matchup, you know, in Miami, he just put up a 13. And, I mean, we've talked about it a lot, especially like with our tournament minds and our tournament, heads, when somebody has a bad matchup and then you go back on a back-to-back and all this other stuff like this, what usually happens? Like, we usually fade the guys that dominated, and we usually go attack the guys that struggled, right? Because we know that the ownership levels are going to swing massively. This is a great opportunity to go, and it's a great value play for Josh Richardson. I mean, it's a great spot. And barring him getting into foul trouble or getting hurt, I expect him to have a lot better game, and he's a guy that can put up 8x.
I'm a Josh Richardson fan, okay? I'm a fan.
But, see, we're just all disagreeing on this. We're just completely disagreeing on this game, which is fine.
Well, it's not complete disagreement because I do like Josh Richardson, so I think he's capable of it. Just haven't been seeing the love, you know? And again, remember, his big games have all come with Whiteside out of the lineup. So unless you're planning a Tanya Harding-style attack at the arena pregame today that I don't know about, then I don't know. I'm not going to get that excited about it.
Okay.
I did not implicate you in the way of a manslaughter right there. So I just – if the proper authorities are listening. Let's move over to Washington side of things because – lately, it's been all John Wall, all Brad Beal in terms of, you know, pumping out the fantasy outputs that we're oh so proud of. Again, I know your stance on John Wall, and he's at that price range where he's somewhat viable. But you liking either guy in this matchup?
I don't mind Brad Beal. I think that Beal is in a pretty good spot here. I'm just trying to look here. Beal is 7,500 on DraftKings. He is 77. I prefer more on DraftKings just because where I can get him cheaper.
Wow, $200.
Well, I never said it was a huge, like, oh, my God, I'm not touching him on FanDuel. I'm just saying I prefer him more. Because I can also get the three-point bonus over there on DraftKings and, you know, stuff like that. John Wall, I mean, 92. I prefer John Wall over there on DraftKings as well. He's cheaper over there by $500. But, you know, other than that, I mean, not too excited about this. There's a couple games in here where I want to attack and a couple other ones I don't. And I have some mid-level interest in this game. But like you said, it's, you know, tournament fillers and Josh Richardson. I can't make up my mind on Otto Porter yet. He had a good game against these guys last time, played 40 minutes, you know, but his shot attempts were down. I want to know, like, his shots are all over the map. And I really, in order for me to really feel good about Otto Porter getting up there close to the $6,500 range, I want him to be taking like 15 shots.
Oh yeah, of course.
Especially on FanDuel where he's at 6,900. I want him to take, you know, 13 to 15 shots minimum. And he only shot 8. Now, granted, they didn't need to do a lot, I don't think.
Decent game. It wasn't like a complete ass kicking.
So I don't know, it's just kind of one of those things like, you know, yeah, you can see it, but you're not too excited about it.
Sure. Wall, 27 points. Beal, 26 points. Led the way for the Wizards in that matchup on Wednesday. So, again, just echoing the sentiments. All right. Got to move over to my neck of the woods, my area. Utah Jazz, 2.5-point favorites at the Brooklyn Nets. Total of 209.5 here. Utah, 4-1 straight up and against the spread against the Nets in their last 5 meetings. Injury news from this one for today. Ricky Rubio just recently ruled out. And also, Dabo Sefolosha is listed as questionable for this game, too. That news certainly was not there when we woke up this morning. So, you know,
yeah, came out.
Keep that in mind. And then, of course, Rudy Gobert, Joe Johnson both going to miss this game today. We knew that. And this is, by the way, a front end of a back-to-back for the Jazz. They will be in Orlando tomorrow night. The Nets for this one, they're going to have D'Angelo Russell out once again. They've actually had 2 full days off before tonight's game for this one. So we actually saw this matchup on Saturday night. Jazz ended up taking that game. But that was a huge game for Derek Favors. And now Brooklyn's just been getting crushed down low. Favors has that massive game against the Nets last time out. 24 points, 12 rebounds, good enough for 46 on DK, 43 on FanDuel. Also, a little bit of interesting narrative here for Favors, who was actually drafted by the Nets back in 2010. And if you remember, he gets flipped early on that season in the Darren Williams deal.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
Why do you gotta bring shit up like that?
I did it. You did.
Meaning, why'd you have to ask the follow-up question? Anywho,
that's my job.
Again, with Favors, you know, pretty much having this whole front court to himself in terms of production with Rudy Gobert out tonight. Very, very hard to hate Mr. Favors here.
Yeah, I mean, it is. FanDuel did a better job of pricing him up than DraftKings.
Sure did.
I'm wondering what the chatter is going to be like with them. I really, really kind of am. I do have a little bit of interest though in a guy that we'll talk about here in just a second.
All right.
But we'll let's touch on the Derek Favors thing. Ever since Rudy Gobert went out against Brooklyn, and he just went off against Brooklyn, 35, 27, 34. Those are his minutes. And I believe the 24 against Minnesota was because him and Gorgui Dieng decided to play hack a big man against each other. I think that's what Gorgui Dieng's, honestly, I think that's what they've kind of implemented him as, is kind of the enforcer. Because he's had some games where he just comes in and just, like, plays the enforcer role.
Well broken down.
Well, you know, I mean, we're here for the hard-hitting analysis.
Right.
The other thing I have, I don't know, it's an interesting tournament fade if he's going to be chalky. And I'm talking like uber mega chalk, and I don't think I don't think he's not viable. Like, he's still viable. You can still win with Favors, but the more that his ownership goes up, the more he needs to do, not only to pay off the combined, to pay off the salary plus the combined ownership, he needs to do more for him to start killing you. You know, we talk about this all the time. We talk about guys that are 2%. Dwayne Dedmon going for 50 in the freaking first half. We talk about that, yet, you know, not killing you because he's 2% owned. But, you know, when you talk about a Derek Favors who could possibly be 30-plus percent owned going up against Brooklyn, he's got to do, what, 55?
Yep.
For you to start feeling it. And I don't know if that's possible, even in a great matchup. I don't know if that's possible. Like, he just played Brooklyn at home in Utah, and he got a 46. Now, I expect this to be a little bit higher paced because the pace typically favors the road team.
Right.
Or the home team, I'm sorry. So maybe 50? I mean, you'll take it, but it's not going to kill you in tournaments on an 11-game slate.
Yeah, it's tough. And again, too, with Favors, he's not a huge scorer. He had a season-high 24 real points against the Nets in that last meeting. You know, the big thing for him, he's just been consistently grabbing rebounds without Gobert. The three games that he's missed, you see 12, 10, 10. I mean, you know, it's certainly possible that Favors ends up with like a 30 or something like that. And yeah, it's a good score, but it's not, you know, winning you any tournaments by any means like that. So it'll be tough to look away from Favors today, but
I think he's a lock and load in cash games. Like,
absolutely.
Especially on DraftKings, like where he's $5,900. Yeah. I think that's a great spot, you know, a great salary starter. I don't think he's he's definitely not, you know, a core play in tournaments. I'm expecting myself to be underweight on the field on Derek Favors tonight because I have interest in another guy for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah,
actually two other guys.
Yeah, we're probably going to be thinking along the same lines here. So Donovan Mitchell is going to step into a huge role tonight with what the hell is the guy's name? Ricky Rubio out for this game, but that'll also do a lot of
That's going to jump his ownership percentage too.
Yeah, it's going to do a lot of things too for Joe Ingles, Rodney Hood, both in this game as well. Keep in mind too, Donovan Mitchell is from the New York City area. He had that huge first half in Madison Square Garden against the Knicks and then slowed down big time. But again, this is a much better matchup for him going up against the Nets, better pace, all that other good stuff. But, you know, again, if you want to maybe trim some ownership percentage off of Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Rodney Hood, both there for the take in Brooklyn. You know, running the fastest pace in the league, also has the second most fantasy points per game overall, or they're allowing second most fantasy points per game overall. Now, I did say Brooklyn still, I haven't looked at the pace numbers at all this year, but I'm assuming Brooklyn's still running the fastest.
Give me 30 seconds here.
Oh, I don't have 30 seconds.
Brooklyn is, yes, they are running the fastest, barely over Phoenix and a couple possessions over the Lakers. They're at a 107.3.
Plenty of games. We could up that rating, blow the second team, the second place team out of the water. I mean, we got to be first in something, you know?
Yeah, because you're not first in anything else. Well, you might be first in turnovers.
You didn't need the explanation.
No, actually, you're pretty good in turnovers. Wow, you're in the top 10 as far as least turnovers in the game.
Don't mean to brag, but, you know, it's a new year. Let's talk about these Brooklyn fellas because
No. Okay, never mind. Never mind. I'm not going to give this guy away on the pod for free. If you want to know who my sneaky player out of the Brooklyn, holy crap. The Utah-Brooklyn game is, make sure you turn into my notes later on.
Wow. Is he a channel. Utah Jazz flute player or a Brooklyn Net?
Yeah. Well, I guess you'll just have to tune in to find out. And that even means that you'll have to do it.
Can you just, like, DM me or something like
that?
No! All right, fine.
I need to get reads in my channel.
The viewership's going down the last couple of days with only two games on the slate.
Yeah, with me not doing anything yesterday, I got to get clicks, man. I'm a clickbaiter.
For this Nets team, it's interesting, right? Because you got Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Spencer Dinwiddie, Damari Carroll. These three guys are going to have the bulk of the production while D'Angelo Russell's out of the lineup. But you take a look at their price tags today on FanDuel. My goodness. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at 7,400. Dinwiddie at 6,500. DeMar Carroll at 6,000.
His price went up.
I mean, it's bananas. And then they're going up against the Jazz, who a lot of people probably won't play. But you got to keep in mind, their defense not as good without Gobert off the floor. I mean, they're not.
And really won't be as good without Thabo either.
Yes, if Thabo misses too, that's another good point. Good thinking. So, again, this is a point of paying up to be contrarian because, you know, damn well nobody's going to be paying over $6,000 for some Brooklyn Nets against the Utah Jazz, but just know that that matchup is not as good as it usually is.
I don't know. I like Spencer Dinwiddie in tournaments. You know, I mean, if we look at their prices here on DK – I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie's 5,500. Obviously, if you're playing the back and forth game between, you know, where to get your exposure on its sites, this would probably be where you would do it. It's going to be a combination of, I mean, well, let's see here. Okay, Sean Kilpatrick's out of the rotation. Good. Yeah. It's going to be, like you said, Caris LeVert. I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie, Alan Crabb. Joe Harris, I guess, is going to play about 20 minutes.
Joe goes up. Joe's been doing pretty well.
Harris played 20 and 24 minutes the last two games. So I'm going to be on the safe side and project Joe Harris for around 20 minutes right now.
Fair enough.
Until I can look in deeper. So you're going to play Joe Harris about 20 minutes. This is going to be a hodgepodge of guys that are handling the ball in the backcourt. I will tell you this. There's a $1,500 difference between RHJ on DK and FanDuel. Mm-hmm. He's only 6,000 on DK. I mean, there's some interesting spots here. I think I would be much more rather inclined to play Brooklyn on DK, obviously, but I think they're in play in tournaments still on FanDuel because you're going to pay up to be contrarian, and you might get the lowest ownership you're possibly going to get with them on FanDuel because of the fact that they're playing Utah.
Aw, snap. Keep in mind, too, Trevor Booker actually used to be a member of the Utah Jazz. He's had some pretty good performances in the three games since leaving there against his former team. So keep that in mind, too. All right, let's go to the next one. We got the Los Angeles Clippers at Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs, 6.5-point favorites here. 222 is our total. The two teams have split the last four meetings between them, and three of the last four Cavs-Clippers games have gone under the total. For the Clippers, this is a front end of a back-to-back for them. They're at Charlotte tomorrow. Injury news for tonight, though. Patrick Beverley is going to be doubtful with the knee injury, and Danilo Gallinari, Milos Teodosic, both already ruled out. For the Cavs, Derrick Rose is going to be doubtful for this game. He's already missed four straight with the ankle injury, and then Tristan Thompson out as well with the calf injury. All right, we'll begin with the Clippers here because it's becoming a basic ritual where we take backcourt players from the team playing the Cavs and put them in our roster.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of been on this little trend of telling you when and when not to play guys like Lou Williams and Austin Rivers. When was the last time we saw Lou Williams at $7,700 on FanDuel?
Jesus Christ had just proclaimed him the Lord, the new savior, actually. His price rose up after that announcement 2 years ago.
Yeah, but to $7,700? Or was it like 8,000? I thought it only got up to like 55, maybe 7. Anyways,
you forget that announcement was so big.
I know, but who really, really, really is going to pay $7,700 for Lou Williams?
This is what makes it a discussion.
This is where you have to sit here and think about this. Take the name out of it. Okay. Yes, okay. We know that Lou Williams can go for 60. So there's going to be two sides to this coin. He's played 39, 36, and 37 minutes in the last three games. Okay, that is the most minutes Lou Williams has played in a three consecutive games. Toronto, maybe? I don't know. It's been a long time.
It's a good guess. It's a better guess than I would have guessed.
You know, we told you not to play him against New Orleans. We told you to play him against Oklahoma City, and we told you to play him against Philly. He just dropped a 61 against Philly. That was a freaking amazing game. I think this is so weird. I think I'd much rather play him on DK where he's cheaper, obviously, because DK doesn't have sharp pricing right now. And I think I'd play Austin Rivers more on FanDuel if you're talking about the exposure type thing. Now, we know that Austin Rivers can still go for 35, but this is a classic case of cannibalizing. You know, but the other side of this Lou Williams coin is how much is his ownership going to jump based on the 60 burger that he just popped? You know, yeah, his price jumped with it on FanDuel, but take the name out of it, go for the minutes, and yeah, he's a good play in a great matchup. But how much is that ownership going to skyrocket or not skyrocket based on either game log watchers going, oh my gosh, he just went for 60, or his price jumping and people thinking they're too smart and hopping off right now? That's the question that I have to answer today.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, look, the matchup's so good. Again, the minutes that he's getting are even more wonderful. I mean, he scored at least 30 real points in two of those last three games where he's getting all these, just getting all these numbers. And I will say, though, the the Cavs do have some guys that can kind of make life difficult on Lou. I mean, you're not going to really stop him, let alone – I guess you could semi-contain him, you know, just with how many shots he'll be taking. But, again, you know, J.R., Shump, guys like that that can just make it, uncomfortable for him. So, yeah, the possibility of him not getting to – I guess 40 is probably the mark that we don't want him to hit to get killed by. Something along those lines. So I think it's certainly possible.
No,
it could do without him.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely – he's definitely talking – what I'm saying is this. This is the kind of the corner I'm on. I like him a lot better on DK, obviously, because he's cheaper. But if he's going to be chalk on FanDuel, I'll fade it. Because what's the likelihood that he pays off not only the $7,700 price tag – but the ownership. It's the same thing that we talked about with Derek Favors.
Right.
But if he's going to be low owned because his price has all of a sudden jumped, this is a spot where we could have fun.
It's good. Because
honestly, as much as I hate playing the dude, I hate playing this guy. Austin Rivers is a great pivot if Lou Williams is going to be chalky.
Agreed. Gosh, I'd like to know the answer to that question. We'll see. Well, we got plenty of time in the day.
And guys, we're not going. We're done with Sedarius Thornwell. We're done.
Oh, not a Sedarius fan. I just like saying his name, but I mean, I haven't even really paid attention to the guy. So.
No, I mean, I get.
Anyway, all right. I'm not gonna worry too much about what about Blake and DJ tonight. You like them at all?
I like DJ more than Blake.
All right. Cleveland allowing seven fantasy points to power forwards.
You can play them both.
Absolutely. I just wanted to throw that stat out there.
Blake's price is about as low as we're ever going to see it.
Yes.
I mean, he is just absolutely – he's been consistent. Hasn't done great, hasn't done bad. He's going to be low owned. I don't think a lot of people are going to own him because he's kind of stuck right there in the middle in power forwards. I mean, you got LaMarcus Aldridge that's cheaper, Paul Millsap, Derek Favors, Lauri Markkanen, and then the only guys you got above him are Porzingis and Anthony Davis. So,
Fair enough. All right, let's talk about Cleveland here. LBJ, the king, going to be up in this one. I guess what he'll draw the matchup with, maybe Wesley Johnson, I guess. No.
You want a guy that's going to stay in the corner for 30 minutes?
I'm not worried. I'm not even really worried, to tell you the truth. I just want to know who's going to be defending him tonight.
Defending who? LeBron
James? The king,
man.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
No, but, again, I'd like to have that answer readily available.
Nobody.
Come on, Magic 8-Ball.
It doesn't matter who. Tonight? See, here's the thing. It doesn't matter who's going to defend him because nobody on this team is capable of actually stopping him or slowing him down.
Sure.
Like, they're just not. I mean, you're going to see a lot of people on him depending on who's or where he's playing on the court, it's going to depend on, Blake Griffin's going to be on him a little bit, and it's just going to depend. And, I mean, LeBron is one of those guys that he's going to get defended by a couple different people just because of the fact of he's going to play outside, he's going to play up in the block, so I'm not really worried about that.
Pro LeBron, anti LeBron.
Me? I'm pro LeBron in this matchup. I mean, I think we're going to see this until Isaiah Thomas gets back and gets integrated into the actual system, if the Cavs run a system. But until he gets integrated into this offense after the first of the year, I think this is the only guy you can really count on a night-in, night-out basis is LeBron. And depending on the matchup, you can go to Kevin Love because he's still going to play the minutes. I prefer to play Kevin Love more on DK where his price is going to be depressed and you can get the 3-point bonus. But, I mean, he's playable on FanDuel too. Other than that, I don't play him on Shumpert. I don't play J.R. Smith. Dwayne Wade's washed up. A great player in his prime, but only going to play around 20 to 25 minutes off the bench. He's starting to relish that bench role a little bit. So, you know, maybe in really, really good situations, I don't, I mean,
Okay. Is
yeah,
that that?
they, it's just not something, I mean,
Fair enough. What about Kevin Love here going up against DJ? Gonna be able to pull him out to the perimeter here. See any lack of rebounds? What are we looking at here?
I mean, I'm not excited about it, to be honest. Expect, like, if he was a power forward on FanDuel, I would have a lot more excitement, but he's a center. Like, and I get why. I understand that. I just, center is so loaded today.
Okay. Anybody else from this Cavs team that could get it done?
No.
No. All right.
I don't want to hear, I don't want to field your Jeff Green questions today, guys. I'm sorry.
Okay. Interesting. I forgot about this number to throw out there. But Cavs, 15-4 against the spread in their last 19 games on a Friday. Gotta love my Friday numbers. All right. Let's talk about the only matchup going on north of the border tonight. We got the New York Knicks at the Toronto Raptors. Raptors, 8-point favorites, especially off their win, or especially intriguing off that win that they just had in Houston. But gonna have an over/under here at 215 as well. Also, I forgot they too. They beat the Pelicans in that back-to-back, so good for them. Toronto 7-1 straight up against the Knicks in their last 8 meetings, covering only 4 of those. Injury news for this one: Norman Powell, D'Lon Wright, both going to be out for the Raptors tonight. And that's really all we got. Raptors third game in 4 days for
Did you
them,
say
but
Serge was questionable?
I didn't say anything about Serge.
Okay, he's questionable now.
Is he? All right.
Yes.
Well, I guess I needed to say something about Serge. For me, I guess we could begin with the Knicks. I mean, I'd rather take this shot if we're going to go against the Raptors more with Porzingis or Cantor. I'm not thrilled about, these backcourt players going up against the Raptors here. I mean, Tim Hardaway could struggle here. I'm assuming he's going to draw the matchup with DeRozan. So that's not one that I'm really looking forward to, but I could get down to two guys down low.
I really don't like this game in the front court. Mainly because there's no way to tell exactly when it's going to be an Enes Kanter night. I don't play Kristaps Porzingis. I think he's a great player. I just, you know, what has he got? There's a reason why he carries ownership, and it's because everybody calls him the unicorn. But what does he got to do to kill me? 55, 60? I'll take my. I don't think
See,
it's.
here's the numbers here with it, right? So Porzingis, he hasn't hit his 5x mark in 4 of the last 5 games, but this is also coming after a time where he exceeded 5x value in 5 of the previous 6 games. I mean, he's certainly capable of getting to that mark. It's
Right, but
just.
when you add the ownership in tournaments, that's where I say he's fadeable.
Okay.
Because, like. And usually in that $9,000 range on FanDuel, like, I can go get, okay, so in 9,000 today or around that, I can go get Nikola Jokic. I can go get Hassan Whiteside. You can go down. I mean, he's just kind of there, you know? And out of all the guys, I think he has the least amount of upside, other than somebody like I mean, all these guys can put up 60, but I think that KZ is going to do it the least.
KZ,
I don't know. I just thought I'd make something up, you
we
know.
could we creating new nicknames now? Is that what we're doing?
Chrysingus. You know, I think
Zingus.
he does it the less. And it's not the fact that I don't like him as a player. I think he's a phenomenal NBA player. And, you know, he's a very at 9,000, he could be a very good cash game staple. I just don't think the ceiling is tappable.
See, here's where I think it is tonight, is the fact that, again, Knicks probably going to struggle in that backcourt matchup, right, against
now,
this
Raptors. The opinion might change if Ibaka is ruled out.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly helps, too. But again, I think that the matchup is more forceful to Zingas trying to hit that upper plateau tonight. That's where I'm at on that. And again, I think and the price tag is coming down a little bit. It's coming down slowly.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's coming down slowly. I get that, but I mean, if we just go by the sim model, he's got a 50% chance to hit 45, 50% chance to hit 30, 55 points. Not 30, 50, 13%. He's got a 4% chance to hit 60.
Woo!
Like,
yikes!
He's got a 50% chance to hit 5x, but I would rather take Andre Drummond.
Not the giant, right?
No, who's got a 74% chance to hit 5x. You know, I mean, it's just kind of stuff like that. Like,
all right.
Especially if he's gonna, the time to play Kristaps is when he's going to be low owned, overlooked, and not talked about.
Like against the Spurs, who he absolutely crushes.
Exactly. Although I think that cat's out of the bag.
Yep. It doesn't sound like there's too much interest here from the Knicks side of things, right?
No.
Wait.
Tim Hardaway Jr. What's his price? Hold on.
Hardaway Jr. 67 DK, 68 FD.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that. I think because he's still going to put up shots. I'm not going back to Frank. Say that again with me.
Ntilikina. The T is silent. A lot of eyes.
You know, I'm not playing Fred VanVleet. It's Tim Hardaway Jr. And that's pretty much about it.
All right. Again, I'm not excited about Timmy tonight, but that's fine.
Oh, I'm not excited about it, but I think he does have upside. It's just, how much. What are the odds that he gets there? Let's
talk about one of your favorite fantasy players, Nodland, the one, the only, the DeMar DeRozan, who has actually been crushing it lately. So. Do you feel your tune changing on DeMar?
No, my tune's always been his price. Like, I've got a price limit.
The tune was always no peripherals.
He doesn't. Okay, let's look at DeMar DeRozan here, okay? The last two games are kind of the anomaly. The rebounds are going up, mind you. Mm-hmm. But they're not great. I mean, we're talking he's 8,000. Okay. Mm-hmm. So even if he does hit like 8,000, I want 50. He's got that upside, yes. But he also kind of hasn't tapped that. He's right there about 40, 45.
I was going to say, he's kind of very similar to Porzingis at his, his price, where he's actually reaching in terms of these points. But, DeRozan for FanDuel the other day, or a couple games back, 47, 48? I mean, these are basically 50.
Yeah, he was cheaper. He was 7,400 on Wednesday, or 7,600.
Right. Better matchup against the Knicks, though.
Right, but now he's $400 more expensive.
Yeah, $400.
On an 11-game slate, it makes a difference. Like, I've said this. I even said this last night. I was like, because people were talking about putting people on their do-not playlists. And I was like, guys, don't make one of those lists. Everybody has a spot where you can play them. I was like, even I have played Dirk and Nowitzki and DeMar DeRozan this year. Like, I can pay down for the value at shooting guard and pay up elsewhere, because like there's no Harden on this slate. You know, I could pay less for Bradley Beal and get probably close to the same. Right. You got Devin Booker going against the Lakers. You got CJ McCollum going against the Kings. I mean, you got Donovan Mitchell going against the Nets. You got Nick Batum. Yeah, nice minutes limit, by the way, Charlotte. Jackasses.
Well, we just like the way it looked, so we just kept rolling with it.
I should have known better when I remembered that the injury was not lower body or cardiovascular related, and it was an elbow. Should have known better than to trust them. Anyways, you got Justin Holiday coming back. You got, you know, Rodney Hood. You've got a lot of good matchups at the shooting guard position tonight. And it's, I don't need to pay for DeMar DeRozan. And I don't think that if I lose tonight because DeMar DeRozan goes for 60, so be it. But I'm about 95% positive that's not what's going to kill me.
Maybe. I mean, the big thing here, too, with the Knicks, they've been so good defensively down low that I feel like just, you know, again, if we're going to see less Ibaka, or if we're not going to see Ibaka tonight, I feel like more of that offense is going to flow towards DeRozan, towards Lowry. But, again, overall, I do like DeRozan in this one.
I'm not saying he can. Look, this is what we go. It's price. What is his price on DraftKings? Dang it. Let's go.
He is 79. 79 on DK, 8,000.
Yeah, I don't see.
Hey, we just got to give both sides of the story. But again, I feel like the good defense down low of the Knicks will filter more towards DeRozan and Lowry. And of course, DeRozan more consistent than Mr. Lowry. Kyle Lowry. Anyone?
I
break it. I mean, both should do fine. I gotta go there. If we get no Ibaka tonight, anybody else would, I guess in a cheaper sense, who would benefit here from this?
I'm wondering who it's going to be. Is it going to be Pascal Siakam, or are they going to run both? Well, they're not going to run Nogueira and...
OG Anunoby?
No, Joe Val out there at the same point. But if
I just want to say that,
but it's gonna be a hodgepodge of the OG, CJ, and probably Pascal Siakam if Serge is out. Because I mean, you got to think about it. Norman Powell's out as well, or doubtful, anyways.
Yeah, I just listed them out. We all know what doubtful means.
I mean, somebody said that they had talked about limiting OG's minutes on the back end of a back-to-back. I wish I would have seen that because I had a lot of OG. This might be a good bounce-back spot for him since he burned a lot of people.
People on the back end of back-to-backs, they just, you know, I can't get down with it.
Right, but they didn't, like...
Even their game, especially rookies on the back end of back-to-backs, they're not used to this stuff.
My thing is you know.
I don't think you ever get used to a back-to-back.
It was. Oh, that was my security alarm system that day. That's probably why I didn't see it. So, I don't know.
Yeah, blame it on the security system. Whatever.
Hey, gotta protect the family. Sounds like I live in a hood and I don't.
Let's get to the next game. We got the Charlotte Hornets at the Chicago Bulls. Hornets, 5-point favorites in this one. We got a total of 199.5. Charlotte, 4-3 straight up against the Bulls in their last 7 meetings. For the Hornets, this is a front end of a back-to-back. They'll be hosting the Clippers tomorrow. No big injury news that affects anything there. For the Bulls, going to have the same list of characters out. LaVine, Mirotić, Cameron Payne, and, of course, David Nwaba out as well. Let's begin here with the Hornets, who actually have a pretty good matchup here for Kemba Walker. Now, Bulls allowing the third most fantasy points per game to opposing point guards. Kemba Walker actually has done very well against the Bulls in his last 6 games against them. I'll have that graphic up on the Walsh's Wingman article today, but I don't know. It's a lot of points. None of his last six performances sucked against the Bulls. So there you have that. Any interest in Kemba away from the Hive this evening?
No.
Okay. Well, those numbers did not impress Keith.
No, because he's hit over 50 once this year.
Okay. I don't even know if that's true or you're just making that up.
No, I'm absolutely 100% honest.
All right.
He's hit over 50 on FanDuel once. In fact, he's only hit over 40 four times this season. Everything else has been in the 30s.
Okay. Case closed on Kemba.
I don't care if he is in a good matchup. I don't. Especially now with Batum back, I would much rather go to Nicholas Batum.
Yeah,
I honestly think he's going to be highly owned, so I might end up getting off of that. But still, the point's still there.
I mean, Batum, the price isn't as low as it was for Batum's season debut. He is at $6,000 on DraftKings, $6,500 on FanDuel. A lot of different pieces here we got to see. I mean, we got to see how they worked for one game, but I don't know. Anything here that you feel like going to? Keep in mind, this is not the sexiest offer of all time. This is the Charlotte Hornets.
Maybe Dwight Howard.
The basically fully healthy team.
Yeah, maybe Dwight Howard at 7,400 in a bounce back spot. I'll have to go back and look and watch why he kind of sucked against Cleveland. I don't know if it was foul trouble. I don't know if it was just ineffectiveness. I don't know what it was. Or I don't know if it was Charlotte just knocking down all the jump shots and him not being able to get rebounds. But, you know, that was a pretty good matchup. He should have at least, you know, done pretty decently in. I don't mind that and a bounce back. We know the Bulls are absolutely just completely horrible against a big man.
Which is crazy because the numbers don't really show it, but we know it.
Yeah. Other than that, it's pretty much those guys.
Sold. All right, Bulls, a little more transparent here. I'm looking at Markkanen, Portis, Holiday, Dunn. That's it. The end of discussion for me.
Markkanen, Dunn. Portis. Portis. Yeah, I guess I don't mind that. I definitely wouldn't play multiple. Like, you can't go crazy with these guys, right?
No, definitely not.
Chris Dunn in a bounce back spot. I told everybody to not play Chris Dunn. Nobody listened.
I did too. Well, nobody listened to me either, I guess.
And the only reason I had him on DK was because I only had 5 minutes to do my lineups on DK and I couldn't edit
him
out. Oh,
you did have him after you told the people.
I couldn't edit it out. Yourself. It's either that or I eat all my entries.
Oh, my God.
But I had none of him on FanDuel.
Oh my God. Yeah, I didn't have done anywhere that night.
All right, go try to build 20 lineups in 5 minutes.
I laughed. Well, that's why I don't. I know my limit to what I do, and that's what I do, man. But yes, anyway, yeah, done. Again, this isn't even a great spot either, but people are going to probably go back to it.
How is this not a great spot?
Like, because at home
against Charlotte, a team that kind of suffers against the Wings.
Tim.
I don't think Batum's going to be on him. I think Batum's going to be on Justin Holiday.
Charlotte has so many capable people.
I mean, we got to think about this. Like, yes, Kemba's not a bad defender, but he's not a great one. But Chris Dunn is really the point guard. I mean, really, honestly, you've got Justin Holiday, Chris Dunn, and Jerian Grant that run the one. You know what I mean? They work off the ball at the same time as well. But, like, none of them are going to be, like, stuck on there against, you know, one team or one guy. So
yeah, I don't know. I get with Jerry and Grant probably going to be at the one, right? That's what I'm thinking. And then Dunn to Holiday 3, or if they want to go Holiday at the 2, Zipser at the 3. I don't even know.
That's both if Zipster. Oh wait, he's playing. He's just been off the bench. I mean, they run a lot of different ways to work on it. So,
I think we can agree, Charlotte, Chicago, not going to be the sweet pot of honey tonight.
No, my games are, you know, you got the Utah Brooklyn matchup. I've narrowed this down to like a 6 or 7.5 game slate. So, I mean, there's a piece here and a piece there from certain games, but other than that, this is a back and load to get
like the Chinese buffet, right? Like you got all your nice meals there, and then sometimes they got the cakes and the other foods from other cultures. No.
Yeah, I mean, you can sample all the stuff, but you know, you've got the main course that's coming up, and there we go.
And.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh.
What?
Oh, Jameis.
Winston?
Yes. Jameis Winston accused of sexually assaulting an Uber driver.
No.
Yep.
I don't see that.
Just was tweeted out about 12 seconds ago.
Come on, Jameis. You can't be touching Uber drivers like that. All right, so I'll try to move.
Now, I will say this in light of the Zeke situation, prove it.
Yeah.
Prove it. Don't just tell me because, oh, wow, whoop-de-doo, tell me. And then, okay, we're not getting together in the soapbox. So.
All right. OKC Thunder, your OKC Thunder, at the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs 2.5-point favorites here, over under of 203. OKC. 9-4 against the spread versus San Antonio in their last 13 meetings. Actually have the outright lead over them, 7-6 in that span. 9 of the last 13 OKC San Antonio games have gone under the total. In terms of injury news, of course, for the Spurs, Kawhi Leonard, Tony Parker both out for this one. Big news for OKC, though, they will get Steven Adams back tonight from that calf injury. Let's begin with your OKC Thunder. Russell Westbrook, a very affordable 10-3 on DraftKings tonight, 10 even on FanDuel. What's the game plan here, Chief?
I mean, I think you can play him as a tournament, you know, high upside tournament play. But I don't think you have to have him at all.
Okay.
Like, I'm sorry, Russ. I know I still love you, brother. I really do. But, you know, and guys, honestly, stop it with the hasn't hit 50 in 5 games. He would have hit 50 if think about this. This is a guy that was playing 38 minutes a game last year. His minute trend, 31, 32, 33. Those are his last three games.
Mm.
They haven't needed him to play 38 minutes.
You know, he can't play that if game, though.
Oh, no, I know, because nobody wants to hear if, you know, but.
Yeah, the famous
I mean,
one.
the dude had 39 FanDuel points after, I think, halftime. I think at halftime. I can't remember. I know he had an enormous first half.
It's a good if.
Yeah, I mean, he's still got upside, but. He's not the must play. And I told everybody this. So I don't want to hear you know, I'm not playing him until he shows it to me. He hasn't needed to. So let him get into a situation. And, you know, honestly, tonight could be the night. It's a close game. Now, I know it's not a high total, but the dude does more than just score points. So
I mean, I'd like to see something, you know.
It's not that we don't know that he doesn't have the capability to do it, is what I'm saying. Like some of these other guys, we sit there and we talk about this and we go, okay, well, does he really have 55-point upside? We know that Russ, with Melo and George in the game, does have 55-point upside. We know it. We've seen it. It's not going to be every night. Everybody's like, oh, well, Russ isn't worth it. Guys, you got spoiled with it last year. Okay? His price has come down. His ownership is going to be next to nothing. this is a matchup where you could exploit the low ownership because nobody's going to play him against the Spurs, especially in San Antonio. And he could pop off for 55-60, and he could be the guy that wins you the slate. Now, Paul George could also be that guy.
Yeah, I like Paulie.
If you had me rank it, it would be Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Melo.
I like George for this matchup, right? Like, this has been a decent spot to go to against San Antonio, but remember, it's typically been like the shooting guards that have been able to move within and out of, you know, the offense here against the Spurs. But again, I like that role for Paul George, and you take a look at, you know, what he's been doing recently. I mean, he had those two monster games where he puts up, now these are real points, where he puts up 42 against the Clippers, 37 against the Mavericks. Again, not the greatest matchups, but I mean, he did damn well what he needed to. And then, of course, this game against Chicago the last time, I wonder how many people will look to that. I mean, again, just a spot that he wasn't needed in, you know, just going up against the Bulls. He plays 36 minutes in that game, but again, just not needed. So, again, I like that point about the fact that this is probably going to be a close game. We're going to see it. A 203 total isn't necessarily a death sentence, but – I mean, obviously, if you get overtime or something like that, thank you.
That total's
hallelujah.
Gone up, too, by the way.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, it was 198.5 when I wrote it down last night.
Okay, very nice.
Let me ask you this. Okay, if Russ, say we do, we want to get, you know, and I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibilities as far as a roster build construction, but say we really, really, really wanted to attack a tournament, okay? And we both like Paul George's matchup. And okay, at 10K, even though it's 10K, if you got Russ at, let's say, a 10% ownership on FanDuel, mm-hmm, would you take a 50 from him?
At 10%, of
5K?
Yeah.
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities tonight. I really don't. He has put up a 60 against San Antonio almost twice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, situations changed and everything like that, but he did put up a, with Durant on the team, he did put up a 50 at 1.2.
Nice.
Like, he's got, let's see, I want to, before I do this, he's got three straight games against the Spurs with at least 12 assists. At least 6 rebounds in the last 5, and at least 20 points in the last 4.
Okay.
So he has had some success against the Tony Parker, Patty Mills, you know, kind of, you know, working. And he's fixed his free throws. Like, one of the things that hurt Russ at the beginning of the season was, like, I don't know if a lot of people knew this, but the NBA kind of changed. Like, they said it would, they made a rule that you couldn't leave the free throw circle, mm-hmm, between free throws. Otherwise it was a delay of game. And, so he used to walk out almost to half court. Like, he used to walk out beyond the 3-point line to kind of gather himself. And he had to, and that was a rhythm and a routine. And we talk a lot about these guys, like, being creatures of habit. Well, now he had to readjust that in game situations at the beginning of the season. So now his free throw percentage is starting to come up. We saw him hit, 9 out of 10 the other night. And it's starting to come up. So that was one of the things that was hurting him at the beginning of the season. Lately, what's hurt him is the fact that he hasn't had to play the minutes because Oklahoma City's kind of had these games in hand. Mm-hmm. So, they're starting to learn how to play with each other. And so, I mean, let's get him in a close game, playing 35, 36, 37 minutes, and see what he does. So I think this is a good spot to attack him at a low ownership tonight. Now, not as part of your core, but you can still attack with him.
Gotcha. I'm a little interested. not interested in Melo here against Aldridge, but I am interested in Steven Adams, going up against Pau Gasol. I think that this is a matchup that he could do well in. I think what makes it interesting is that, you know, we heard earlier in the day today that he will play, so that's an obvious sign that he's feeling a lot better. I don't think anybody will be on Steven Adams tonight. I think that's part of the appeal as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a mixture of Pau Gasol and LaMarcus. Well, it's going to be Pau Gasol and whoever else they decide to throw out there. So I just want to know, I don't like Steven Adams because I don't think that he plays his full complement of minutes coming off of a calf injury.
All right.
I think it's still if he wasn't coming off of a calf injury, then I would love that. But
okay, see, we're going in opposite directions because I like the fact, you know, with what I said, where I think it's a great sign that he's been ruled in already at the beginning of the day, as opposed to, oh, he's got to go through shoot around, he's got to go through this and see how he feels.
Well, he went through shoot around and a lot of stuff against Chicago. He probably could have played if they needed him, if Chicago was a better team.
Even better.
I don't know, like, you know, we need 30 minutes from Steven. And I'll have to tweet Royce Young just to see.
Oh, okay. You let me know when that happens.
I'm tweeting him right now.
For the Spurs on their side of things, Aldridge here, I like this spot for him against going up against Carmelo Anthony here. Do you agree with that sentiment? You like anybody else here? But how are we attacking OKC if we do so?
I mean, I don't attack OKC. Just like I don't attack Boston. Especially at full strength. They're too good of a defensive team right now. I mean, there are five teams that have a negative matchup for every position across the board in the NBA. Boston is one. Milwaukee is the other. Oklahoma City is another one. Toronto, Utah, and San Antonio.
Very nice. Congratulations.
And Portland, sorry. Right, no, Portland, you can attack them at the shooting guard. So, I mean, those are the teams, like, you know, you just – those are hard teams to kind of attack. And it's been profitable not attacking them. So I don't think that – you know, for me in this game, it's George, it's Westbrook, and tournaments, more George than Westbrook, and maybe a couple of them paired, but that's pretty much about it.
All right. All right, let's talk about Minnesota Timberwolves tonight at the Dallas Mavericks. T-Wolves, 6.5-point favorites here with a total of 213. Dallas, 5-3 straight up and against the spread against Minnesota in their last eight. Six of the last seven games in this series have gone under the total as well. In terms of injury news, it's the same situation for the Mavs as always with Curry, Finney-Smith, Nick Roberts all out. For the Timberwolves, though, an intriguing injury note here. Gorgui Dieng, questionable with the finger injury. If he were to remain out, that would be good news for Taj Gibson. But the big thing here, Dallas allowing the fifth most fantasy points per game to opposing centers this history, this season. Good history for Karl-Anthony Towns as well against the Mavs. Six double-doubles in eight of his last tries against them. Sure, with all that being said, also, too, can't forget Jeff Teague. Not a good matchup here. Mavs allowing the third most fantasy points to opposing point guards. This is where you chime in and say, good
I know,
thinking, Walsh, I'm, or you fucking schmuck.
I like Karl-Anthony Towns.
Nice.
Um, I don't know who else I really like. If Gorgui Jang's out, maybe some Taj Gibson. Finding, like I said before, finding 30 minutes under 5K on FanDuel is kind of difficult nowadays. And we could probably get that. I don't expect it's more of a cash game type play. Just because, like, at 5K, I want 30 plus, and he doesn't matter. Like, the only time he really did that was in a paced-up game against Phoenix. And this isn't a paced-up game for him. So, maybe. More of a cash gameplay, but I've been meaning to go back and look, and I really want to know how Teague and Cat work off the pick and roll together, because I don't think that I really, really, really want to find a correlation play with Karl-Anthony Towns, and I haven't been able to find one yet. Jimmy Butler's just doesn't do as much. He's not asked to carry the offensive load on this team, which makes the team better. It just makes him a kind of a
useless.
I was going to say an overpriced fantasy option right now. I think he's still priced up at 8K just because of the name, kind of like Westbrook was priced up over 11K at one point.
Right.
It's just I don't feel like I need to play Jimmy Butler, especially in this matchup. So that's kind of my thinking there.
Good thinking, my man. All right. Not too thrilled. Yeah, I mean, possibly some Andrew Wiggins. But again, all my interests so far lying there with Anthony Towns and with Jeff Teague as well. From the Dallas side of things, Timberwolves have been getting shredded by opposing backcourts. Sixth most fantasy points allowed to point guards. Fourth most fantasy points allowed to shooting guards this season. Could be an interesting mix, maybe. I can't believe the price on Dennis Smith Jr. at 6,900 on FanDuel, but I could lean a lot more heavily towards like a Wesley Matthews here, 5,100 on FanDuel, 46 on DK. I like that.
Royce Young just tweeted back.
Oh, look at Mr. Popular over there.
We'll see how. Oops. This is from Fred Katz.
Please leave me alone. Thank you.
No, we'll see how he feels, but he's cleared to play for now.
All right.
So it doesn't really give us anything. But at least we know from a beat writer that it's a possibility he could not be limited. So.
Adams is going to play 52 minutes tonight. Awesome.
Oh, we're going into double overtime then. Let's stack this game up. please, we're not saying stack up that game. Anyways, I don't like a lot of, I mean, Wesley Matthews, he can play 30 minutes and get you 12.
Sure can. Good matchup, though. Great matchup.
It is, but is it as good of a matchup as it was against Cleveland or Washington?
I don't know, as good, maybe slightly worse, but again, it's still a good one.
So would you compare this one to, say, Washington?
No, better than Washington. Like, not as good as the one against Cleveland, but no, of course it's better than Washington.
Okay, well then you could probably make a case for Wesley Matthews then. But just understand this, you know that he has the capability in a good matchup to go stand in the, or to play 38 minutes and get you a 10.9. Like, that's what he did against New Orleans, who's a pretty decent matchup. Like, it's not a bad one. So, that understand and know that that's the risk that you're taking. So, that's kind of my feeling on Wesley Matthews. Harrison Barnes, it just doesn't show any upside, especially at the $7,200 price tag. His ceiling is just like 45, and... he needs to tap that in order to for me to be happy. It just Dirk's under five. If he gets me, what's his price over there on DK?
He is, oh boy, 4,200.
Okay, I prefer him over there on DK more. If he's going to play close to 28 minutes at 42, I think he's a good option over there, especially with the 3-point bonus. Other than that, I don't have a lot of, I don't know. Yeah, I'm either going to have a really, really, really good night or a really bad one.
Harrison Barnes has actually looked pretty good over the last six, right there around salary-based expectations. I don't know anybody that's probably going to play him on FanDuel where he's 7,200, but 6,300 on DraftKings, certainly more, you know, a lot more doable. But I've been crazy before. I can pay up.
Okay.
I did just run downstairs and chase the dog. It's been a pain in the ass, so I'm like all out of breath now. But I will pull through, folks. We can get to this next one. We got the Portland Trail Blazers at the Sacramento Kings. Blazers, 6.5-point favorites here with a total of 201.5. Portland, 6-1 against the Kings in their last seven meetings. Five of the last seven Blazers-Kings games have gone under the total here. Now, this is the second home-and-home series that I was talking about earlier on the pod today. But these two teams will actually play each other tomorrow night as well. So we're not only going to have the front end of it back-to-back, but it's also front end, the home-and-home here, too, for the two teams. So anything in particular that the people should know about these matchups?
I don't think you can play Kings right now. Because they're all over the map. There's no telling. Like, the perfect example is Scal Abasiri the other night. He had come into that game playing 24, 25 minutes, and all of a sudden he was limited to 7.
I do not know this, man.
In a matchup where he was getting blown out, or they were getting blown out. So, no, I'm not playing him. I mean, who knows what they're going to do with Zebo.
Must have been dicking around the film session.
Let's see. Sacramento hasn't played on the back end of it, or hasn't played a back-to-back since October 20th, 21st, at least according to Zebo's game logs, where he played 30 the night before, or the front end, and then 20 the previous night. But that 20 was going into Denver on the back end of a back-to-back, so we know that.
I wanted to talk about Zebo and his game logs, because can't you just imagine Zebo having a bad game and he's like, nah, that one ain't going on my game log. And they're like, no, but we have to put it there, Mr. Randolph. No, that ain't going on my game log.
Oh, man.
I don't have these crappy performances on my game log. I can say it. He's the kind of guy that would do that.
Really? Because he's got a 15.
Well, that one probably slipped by him. I mean, Zebo can't be catching every shit game on his game log. All
right.
Just saying, he's got big things to do. Remember that operation he was running over the summer? He ain't got time for game log watching. He got people
allegedly.
Yeah, look, in terms of the Kings, it's like De'Aaron Fox, it's Zebo, it's Heald. And you know my boy Justin Jackson, who I always like throwing up in there, but
do you remember the conversation that we just had when it came to the San Antonio Spurs?
I don't know.
Do you remember the team that I messed up on that actually wasn't like supposed to be in that conversation?
I'm assuming it was the Kings.
Yeah, no, it was the Blazers. I'm just not doing it.
Okay. Go.
Their rotation is so freaking unpredictable.
I'm aware.
Yeah, would it surprise you at all with the way that De'Aaron Fox played against Atlanta, the way the whole team played against Atlanta, you know, when he's been playing 25, 27, 29 minutes, all of a sudden, then all of a sudden he goes out, he starts the game bad, and George Hill just plays the rest of the game?
No.
Like, I mean, it wouldn't shock any of us at all. Would it shock you to see Garrett Temple play?
I love Garrett Temple.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. But we don't know. It's especially on the back end of a back-to-back or the front end of a back-to-back, and then they got to travel into Portland tomorrow. Yeah, I don't think I'm doing it.
Why? You don't like traveling into Portland?
I've never traveled into Portland. That's not my point.
It's gorgeous.
That's not my point. The point is they do have to travel, and that's after playing a basketball game, and then they have to get up and play a basketball game tomorrow. And they're
against
not
the same ugly mugs.
Yeah, they're not going home to play that basketball game like Portland is. Like, they're traveling. Like, I would much rather be the away team on these home and home series like this. I would much rather be in Portland's shoes than in, because they didn't play yesterday. They've been there. And then they get to go home.
Okay. I would much rather be Portland than Sacramento too. I mean, no discussion needed for that.
Yeah.
Zero. Kings are allowing the fifth most fantasy points per game overall, so this could just be a fun little, you know, Harlem Globetrotter-like exhibition for the Blazers tonight. Keep in mind, too, they are allowing the most fantasy points per game to opposing centers. Heard a lot of Yusuf Nurkic love today.
Oh, yeah.
Are the people being led by the blind man into the woods?
I think some of them are being led by the first half that Dwayne Dedman had, but I mean, it's not like it's a bad matchup. It's a really good matchup. So
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You can't blame
them. Yeah. We're not doubting the matchup. It's that damn Yusuf that we got to worry about.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay. Keith says he's not worried. All right. Let's, I don't know. Any of the bench guys, Turner, Harkless, Vonley, Davis? Please say no. Please say no.
So not really.
Thank goodness. All right. New Orleans Pelicans at the Denver Nuggets. Nuggets 5-point favorites here, over under 218. Denver 4-3 straight up and against the spread versus the Pelicans in their last seven meetings. Only worthy injury news to relay here for the people for the Pelicans. Tony Allen, questionable with the knee injury. And then for the Nuggets side of things, Gary Harris, questionable with the shoulder issue right now. Also interesting to note that the Nuggets have had 3 full days off before tonight's game. Okay. I guess we got to start with the Nuggets there, with what that 3 full days off means. It should be a heavy workload for the guys down low. They're going to need it against AD and Boogie tonight. Jokic, we know, is a little stupid, gets in foul trouble a lot. So
took the words right out of my mouth.
It's a little stupid. You know, you got to watch out for that guy sometimes. But, you know, New Orleans allowing the 6th most fantasy points to power forwards. Millsap has shown that he can hang with AD before. He's had 3 double-doubles in the last 4 meetings against the Pelicans. So I think it's going to be a nice battle. We got a nice total on this game too. So I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of pieces of this game. The question is always going to be what kind of head is Nurkic in? Jokic. And honestly, I couldn't tell you. Because it's very, very, very difficult to see and really put a lot of weight on the previous matchups, because obviously the situations have changed. And I bet, because somebody was talking about how AD had only played like, you know, 32 minutes and 28 and 18. And I'm betting that either he got into extreme foul trouble really early in the game, or he got hurt and didn't play the rest of the game. For whatever reason, AD's kind of struggled in Denver over his career. You know, as a whole, not like individually. So maybe you put a little bit of solace into that and you go more Boogie Jokic on DraftKings than you do AD. But I mean, I think they're all in great spots, and I think they're all capable of just absolutely going bananas. Like, I'm not predicting a Joel Embiid type of performance, but I can see 55-60 out of both AD and Boogie and a 50 out of Jokic.
Yeah, certainly possible. One of the things to note if you're making your decision tonight. Now, keep this in mind, too, because in the last 10 games that Boogie has played against Denver, 9 of these, keep in mind, were as a member of the Sacramento Kings. But Boogie has scored 30 real points in 6 straight games against the Nuggets. So something about that matchup agrees with
them. Was AD out in that last game against the Nuggets when he was with New Orleans? Because I remember that he left a little bit last season. I just don't know what their schedule was. So.
It's a good question, but
one we'll have to look into a little bit more.
Yes, sounds good. Also, we got to mention here, too, I guess we'll start with the Pelicans one of interest. Rondo, I saw a note that he is scheduled to play 20 to 24 minutes. I wasn't able to see that first game that Rondo played, but or he's played two now, right, with the Pelicans?
We didn't know about.
Yes.
We had no news that he was actually going to make his debut, and then they tried to tell us that he was going to be on like a 7-minute limit, and he played 14 minutes.
Yes.
And then the next time we got it, oh, he's going to be on a 15-minute limit, and that was a little bit more reasonable.
I see here in the log he played 4 minutes against Atlanta and then 14 in that one against Toronto.
What's his price right now?
$4,200. That's FanDuel, 44 on DK.
This is where it's getting interesting.
Yeah, but anyway, scheduled to play 24 minutes. I'm wondering how much of a hit that is to Drew Holiday, because again, no Tony Allen. If Tony Allen's going to be out tonight, you know, I know that the Pelicans initially wanted to have Rondo play the one, Holiday be at the two. So
that's again, they've been playing. They did play both of them there. That's how they played at the last couple games. The problem is like, you know, obviously, Holiday's going to take the usage hit, and I think as Rondo's minutes get increased, Holiday becomes more and more of a tournament piece.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can go to him for, you know, consistency like we have been, but he still kind of does have a little bit of upside because he does get, you know, he is going to run some of the second unit point guard duties when Rondo's out of the game. So,
all right, good to know. And then also, too, with the Nuggets, I think that situation with Gary Harris is interesting. If Gary Harris is out with the shoulder injury, Will Barton, Jamal Murray, Emmanuel Mudiay should all, you know, pick up an increase in workload. So, like all three of them.
Yeah, I think your main target there is Will Barton.
All right.
At least in cash games. He's the most consistent part of it.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's get to the next game here, which is actually the last one of the evening. The Phoenix Suns at the Los Angeles Lakers. Lakers 5.5-point favorites, total at 226. Teams have split the last 10 meetings in this series. 6 of these last 10 games between the Lakers and the Suns have gone over the total. Phoenix tonight on the back end of a back-to-back. They are fresh off getting 142 points scored on their face last night by the Houston Rockets. And then no situation for the Lakers tonight. But in terms of injuries, Larry Nance Jr. is still going to be out for them, while for the Phoenix Suns, Tyson Chandler is going to be questionable again with that illness injury. Well, illness, not illness injury. And then Jared Dudley out, the knee injury. Alan Williams also out with the knee injury. All right, let's just go immediately to the main topic of conversation. Greg Monroe makes his debut for the Phoenix Suns last night. Goes absolutely bananas in a limited number of minutes. Now, I know he's going to be highly owned tonight. Like we briefly talked about this before we hit the record button, but Monroe playing on the back end of a back-to-back when he's just coming off a calf injury. It seems like the Suns are just showcasing Greg Monroe. They have no plans for him in the future. They just want other teams to show that they got some value to show for. I'm sick.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, with that being said, do you think that they want to risk this showcase item on the back end of a back-to-back? It's a legitimate question.
It is.
I understand it's the Lakers, and he could put up mucho points in
I'm not playing
whatever
Greg Monroe.
The Spanish word for small is minutes, but
it doesn't matter.
I mean, it's certainly a situation that we got to look up.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if he plays or not, just to gain theory of perspective, because everybody saw that game last night. It's just like, you know, with some of the Lakers tonight, everybody saw that game. You know, I'm not playing Greg Monroe. I can go get Boogie in just as good of a matchup, if not, you know, maybe a little bit less, but Boogie's a much more talented player, so it makes up for it. I'm not playing Greg Monroe.
Strong take.
He's just... I love playing Greg Monroe.
Oh, I enjoyed it thoroughly last night.
I didn't play last night. I'm just not doing it when he's going to be chalk. I still paid attention to the games. I paid attention to everything that happened. I'm just not going to do it because everybody's going to just see. You've got the combination of three things. One, Greg Monroe being cheap and getting minutes against the Lakers after blowing it up last night. Mm-hmm. We just saw what Joel Embiid just did against the Lakers. Hello? Game theory, avoid it!
Hello. Play to win the game. Now, this is not the only great news. Now, and look, if we get word that Greg Monroe is playing, right? Like, he's going to be playing a significant amount of minutes. Will your tone change at all?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm hitting the X out button on Greg Monroe.
Okay. Now, I'm not playing him because I don't think that they're going to push him hard on the back end of a back-to-back. That's my reasoning. It's not hoping he duds it against the Lakers. I don't think there's any reason for them to push him.
If you play him tonight, and there's got to be people that are listening to this that aren't members of the Army that are just sitting here screaming like, how could you do this? How could you do this? Well, then you don't know me.
What are you doing?
If you play Greg Monroe tonight, just understand that he could go out there and play 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, that's a real possibility with this. They are showcasing him. Make no mistake about it. They want to show that he can play maybe somewhat on the back end of the back-to-back. They're not going to push it because they're trying to get value out of him. Why do you think Tyson Chandler is sick all of a sudden for multiple days? It's not a coincidence, guys, but they have to make up the news because they can't just rest him because of this, and it's just easier to make him inactive, which we thank them for, by the way. I'm not touching it. It's not a situation I'm going to touch.
Gotcha. All right, so with all that being said, Devin Booker, also a nice option here for the Suns. He's actually had two very good performances against the Lakers this season. However, one of them, the better one, of course, was when KCP was serving his two-game suspension for the Lakers, the first two games of the season. But even the matchup that KCP did play, Booker did have a pretty – but he had 36 points in that game, real points, not fantasy points in that one. So same meeting here. Again, you know me. I love my jump shooters on the back end of back-to-back, so I think that Booker can still be very viable here. I still like TJ Warren in this matchup as well. But I don't know, any of these other people that are slipping my mind right now?
Yeah, because I'm the exact opposite with you and jump shooter, or with this and jump shooters on the back end of a back to back. I try to avoid them.
Okay.
I try to avoid them. I'm more going towards PJ Tucker. I'm going towards
Well, I would hope you'd avoid PJ Tucker.
Or, sorry, TJ Warren. I always get them mixed up for whatever reason.
I was going to let it go, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
so
you can't
many
let
people
that one
would
go.
Get confused.
Yeah, you can't let that one go. You know, I don't know how much of a... I got a little bit of interest maybe in Dragan Bender. Maybe some Justin Jackson. Or Josh Jackson, sorry. Justin Jackson plays for the Kings.
A lot of Jacksons.
You know, I don't have a lot of interest in the Suns, at least right now. So it's not something I'm really excited about.
It's a back-end, back-to-back game.
With travel. You know, it'd be different if they were the ones, like I said, coming home. But they're the ones that are leaving home. So
they're going into LA, which has one of the best Tinder radiuses in the country, easily. Especially for, you know, ones who have a favorable occupation, such as NBA players. Could be tired. Could be worn out. Nothing a trip to the sauna can't fix.
But yeah, Keith
and a note from a doctor. But Keith doesn't like him, so interesting. Let's talk about the Lakers here, because, of course, they're an interesting story no matter what they do. So Phoenix giving up the most fantasy points per game overall, giving up the most fantasy points to opposing point guards. However, Lonzo Ball benched in the fourth quarter in each of the last two games. He did have one of his best games of the season against the Phoenix Suns earlier in that second game of the season. He fell an assist shy of a triple-double, but he dropped a complete dud against the Suns 4 days ago in a matchup where he was incredibly high-owned.
Which
that
we
I
called,
faded,
by the way.
And that I faded, and I loved every damn minute of it. With that being happening in the last two games, Clarkson has seen an increased minute workload in both of those spots. He's got 7x value to show for it in both games. So look, I think no matter what happens in this game, I think Clarkson is obviously a safer play than Lonzo is. With Suns in a back end of a back to back, I like Clarkson no matter what. If it's a blowout mop up duty or if it's a close game, I think, you know, they're riding Clarkson for now.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta love it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to get off my Jordan Clarkson. I saw him first. And what I mean by that is I really did. He played at the University of Tulsa.
Jordan Clarkson is the prince of late slates.
Yeah, I mean,
about 4 years running now. Three, whatever.
Yeah, it's awesome. So it's just kind of one of those things. Like, I play Jordan Clarkson a lot, and I like Jordan Clarkson, and
he likes Jordan Clarkson, folks.
You can't do a damn thing about it. But the problem is here I mean, I'm fighting my game theory testament and trying to figure out what could happen. Is this a spot where Lonzo is going to end up, you know, becoming the chalk again? Because he has had, you know, he did have success. I know Jordan Clarkson is going to be higher owned because on a 15-game slate, he was higher owned the other night.
You know.
So I know that's possible. I don't know how much higher owned. I mean, I still think this is a good game stack. That's the only way I'll play some of these Suns. But I'm gonna go back to Kuzma. I'm gonna go back to Clarkson. I'm gonna go back to KCP. It just kind of depends on what I feel like the ownership is going to be on guys like Lonzo Ball. I think Brook Lopez is interesting.
Yes.
And I might, I can't believe I'm going to say this, have a little bit of interest in Julius Randle.
I thought you were going to say Corey Brewer.
No, I do know.
Thank God. That'll wake everyone up. My goodness. Just Yeah, Randall's interesting. You look at, and I wanted to mention Kuzma too, just a couple numbers on him, but actually no numbers on him, but it's a sentiment that I mentioned on the solo pod the other day. But, you know, Kuzma's a rookie who he had a couple humbling spots on that East Coast road trip. He had one really good game. I believe it was the one that was against Milwaukee, but you know, he got back home, got in the, you know, back into comfortability. So that was just a good get back spot for him. Phoenix, again, one of the worst teams against opposing power forwards. So I like him to stay hot. KCP, at least 30 fantasy points in three of the last four games. One of those even against Phoenix. And Brandon Ingram coming off a season high 26.
Oh, that's the other guy. Fading
Ingram. Yes. Okay. Well, he's coming off a season high 26 points in that game against Philly in the last one. He's becoming, as I have in my notes today, he's becoming TJ Warren 2.0, where 40 point upside is very real, but
so is
15 point upside.
Exactly. Yes. There are certain guys, like, you know, I'm not afraid to fade, especially like, you know, after they have a good game. And usually Brandon Ingram's a perfect example. When he has a good game, I'm off the next game. So
very nice. Very nice. All right. That will wrap it up for us today. Make sure you go to dfsarmy.com. Use the promo code podcast to get signed up with us. They'll give you 20% off each month of your subscription. Go to the website now. Check out and see what we got going on. But for me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we gone. Have a good weekend.
Peace out.